as we can see, no sooner had sin come in than grace also came in. We know that Israel under the law could not be redeemed, and the law was given to man to show his sinful nature. But right in the beginning, and as has been pointed out, sin began and God could not look upon sin. It separated man from God. But God already was displaying grace in speaking of a coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in that day of grace. And how wonderful and blessed that is, that any one of us, many of us in this room, perhaps all of us, have trusted in the Lord Jesus. What a blessing that is. And now we are waiting not for that first advent, but for the second advent, the return of the Lord Jesus to reign here in righteousness. So the blessings are here in his first advent, but I believe we have the greater blessing in waiting for his sure return. And here, as we know, Joseph, being obedient, Joseph went to the city of his birth, or his ancestors' birth, the house of lineage of David, and it was there that the Lord was born. But he wasn't born as you and I, and there wasn't even any room for him at the inn. And the question for my heart is there any room for him in my heart? Is there any room for this wonderful Lord and Savior in my heart? And I know when we are saved, he is with us. But often we forget that he is with us constantly, every moment, every trial, every difficulty we may face. The Lord is always present with us and ready to help us. But here there was no room for him, even in the very beginning. And we know this picture very well, of course, of his first advent, of coming and being born in a manger. But what a blessing that has been. And it's been mentioned that only a few are really awaiting for his first advent. Simeon is mentioned later here, and also Anna, and there were a few others too that are mentioned, but only a few really were expecting him. But you and I, having faith in the Lord, we should all be expecting his second advent, shouldn't we? Because we have much more. We have the whole word. So let us be conscious of the fact that the Lord will come again, and he will come at any moment. Am I ready for that? Or am I so occupied with the things of this life that if he came, I'd have to say, wait a minute, Lord, I still have a few things to do here. I'm still single. I want to marry. I want to have children. I want to graduate from college. Whatever it may be, the many things that occupy us, I'm not saying they're not important. They are. But how much more important is that I'm ready at any moment to hear the shout and meet him in the air.
It's marvelous to look at the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke and realize that, as we heard, that the remnant were few. Seven of them mentioned by name in the first two chapters. We have four of them, actually five in chapter one. We have Zechariah and Elizabeth. We have Joseph and Mary. And we have John the Baptist. When we go to chapter 2, we have Simeon and we have Anna. Number 7 is the number of perfection. It's a small crowd of remnant. Let me add this, it's a small crowd of a godly remnant. Are they perfect in their own circumstances? If you look around, Zechariah, a priest, that did not have that much of a discernment. Joseph, someone that is godly but does not have a lot of money. John the Baptist, someone, obviously from his life, he doesn't have a lot of equipment, but he's equipped by God to wait for the Messiah. When you go to chapter 2, you will find Simeon, an old man, but a righteous man. That's the report of the scripture about Simeon. What is the report about Anna, an old lady? At least, if you calculate her days, she would be at least 107 years old. 107 years old, sister, you would expect her on a wheelchair. But you see her in the temple praising God, waiting for the promise of God. The number seven is the number of perfection. God, in His sovereign wisdom, He knows those that are godly and they are waiting for Him. Are we one of them? May the Lord bless.
One thing I'd point out is interesting in this section is the glory of God. Glory is connected with this coming. We have it in verse 9. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And then the response of the angelic host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. So God's glory is connected always with the presence of the Lord Jesus, the coming of His person. And so it was a magnificent scene. Just think of these shepherds out there in the field in the cool of the night, and all of a sudden, a wonderful blaze appears. And their hearts are in amazement. They're fearful as to what's taking place. And it's connected with glory. And it's a glorious message. The long-awaited promise of God. As someone said, they wait a lot longer, these Old Testament saints. The long-awaited promise of God is being fulfilled right in your very eyes. You'll see it today. And Simeon says that. Simeon says, my eyes have seen thy salvation. So they actually were able to behold with their eyes the fulfillment of the promise of God. And we look forward to that too. We look forward to that promise being fulfilled. We will see Him. We're going to take it up later. See Him face to face. And so this is a magnificent news. And the effect that it has in their lives. I believe this didn't just wear out. The next day they said, oh, well, we'll forget about that. No, this was something that motivated them in their lives. I'm sure these shepherds did their shepherding better than they ever did before. It changed their lives. The fact that God is fulfilling His word. And I've had the privilege of bearing the report. And we all have the privilege of bearing that report. The report of the Lord Jesus and His blessed person. He's come. He's died. He's risen again. And this should just stir our hearts as we anticipate His coming to bear that message, that report, out to this world and to encourage one another as well.
It's very interesting what you mentioned about the appearing of the glory of God in connection with the coming of the Lord Jesus. The first time that expression is mentioned in the Word of God, the glory of God, is in the book of Exodus chapter 16 in connection with the coming down of the manna. The first time you read that expression and they saw the glory of God, it is in connection with coming down that manna from heaven, the bread of God, the bread of the mighty, on the dews. And there, in connection with it, you find the glory of God. For the first time, the glory of God is associated with a man in the sea. It's interesting also that in 1 Samuel chapter 4, it was a birth of another person. With it, the glory of God have departed when Phinehas' wife gave a birth to Ichabod. She called him Ichabod, saying that the glory of God have departed because the ark of God have moved. But as the ark of God comes back to its place, the glory of God appearing again. It is in connection with the coming of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't Caesar Augustus who moved the nations of the world for the taxes or for the census. It was that predetermined counsel of God. Before that, before we even go to the book of Genesis chapter 3, it was the determined counsel of God that in the fullness of time, not that the August Caesar would have a decree for people to move around, but His son would be born into this world.